Go with me to Psalm 36. I'm going to go to verse 6. Thy righteousness is like the mountains of God. Thy judgments are like a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. How precious is thy loving kindness, O God, and the children of men take refuge in the shadow of thy wings. These are great words of hope. This is a position. It's a position, refuge in the shadow of his wings. And as they take their position, they drink their fill of the abundance of thy house. Thou dost give them to drink of the river of thy delight, or the river of thy pleasure, or the river of Eden. The word is actually Eden, the river of thy pleasure. Remember that word that brings increase, bursting forth with rapid fruitfulness. You're drinking of that. When you're taking shadow in his wings, when you're taking your refuge with him, when he becomes your refuge, your place, he also becomes the filling place, the infilling place. And for with thee is the fountain of life, and in thy light we see light. What I wanted to talk to you about is that God has prepared you. He's been preparing this body for some time. He's been proving us and testing us in ways that maybe not everybody's even aware of. But I can tell you that he's been preparing us for a time to do and to be a light in this world and in this hour. And then right now, he's given us an authority to be released. He's given us an authority to take who he is and then begin to show the world, this is what Jesus looks like. This is what the Father is looks like. This is what relationship with the Father is. And as we have that, now we can begin to release something that comes from the house. We release something that ultimately comes from him, because why, we're positioning ourselves with him. And as we do so, there's going to be a release of a new hope and a new promise. Because see, hope is what it takes for faith to form. And as we release a new hope, there's a new release of faith for the world to see. Go with me to Ezekiel 37. I haven't been here in a while. But this is a passage that has captured my imagination for many years. Ezekiel 37, the vision of the valley of the dry bones. Verse 1, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. And he caused me to pass around about, and behold, there were many, very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very dry. They were very dry. And he said, Son of man, can these bones live? Do you think he was looking for Ezekiel's wisdom? Is he looking? He was like, man, I've been wondering about this for eons. Now I got the man who can answer the question. Ezekiel did it right. He said, he answered, oh Lord God, thou knowest. Thou knowest. I see a trap and I'm going to say, you know. You know, Lord. You know, if the Lord's asking us a question, it's really good to defer. Just let him have the, you know, this, you stay on stage, Lord. You got an answer. Hallelujah. Because see, He began to see and to say, Lord, you have an answer to the situation. But ultimately, God was wanting him to understand that he was the answer he was providing for the situation. He wanted Ezekiel to understand. Ezekiel right up front said, I don't have an answer for this situation. I don't even know what the situation is yet. But the Lord's wanting him to begin to identify as the answer. Everything that Christ ran into, when he ran into the leper, he understood he was the answer to the situation. When he stood before the Sanhedrin, he understood he was the answer to the situation. When he stood before the waters of Bethesda, he understood that he was the answer to the situation. Christ understood he was the answer. He understood he was the answer even when he was a little boy before he became who we see and know as our Christ. He knew where he would be. And again he said to me, say, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And thus says the word, Lord God, these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter to you that you may come to life. And I will put sinews on you and make flesh grow back on you and cover you with skin and put breath in you that you may come alive and you will know that I am the Lord. So he says right here, it's twice now, notice. Hear the word of the Lord. Behold, I will cause breath to come into you. And I will put breath in you. Twice now, he says that. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And I prophesied, and there was a noise, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, sinews were upon him, and flesh grew, and the skin covered him, and there was no breath in them. See, prophet, we have to know what it is the Lord told us. And we can't stop just because we get to something that looks like what God said, but is not yet what God said. What did the Lord say twice? I'm going to put breath. I'm going to put breath in it. I'm going to put life in it, is what he's saying. I'm going to put life in it. But what he had was a bunch of bodies that were now complete, laying still on the ground with no life. It looked like what the Lord said. It looked similar to what was said, but he had to keep listening and he had to keep holding to the truth that the Lord had shared to him that these things are going to have life. These things are going to stay in life. And he had to hold to that truth. You know, it's really easy sometimes to hear a word of the Lord and go running off and not get the rest of it. Have you ever happened to you? I know it's happened to me. I don't know if the rest of you want to admit or not. But you go running off and then you go, you know, the Lord says, go, and you take off. And you never even ask to see which direction he wanted you to go. Andres is going on record as never having done that. Andres will be visiting me for Sozo during this week because we're going to cast that lying spirit out of him. Hallelujah. Today. This day, choose whom you will serve. Okay, I think I'm overstepping here. So come on, God. So the Lord wants us to understand that when he's talking about these bones and these dry same substances, right? These are the bones are the body members, the essence, the substance. It's the substance. But see, they're dry. Now, does dry bones, do dry substances sound like something that's partaking of the tree of life? Does it sound like something partaking of the river of life? Do dry substances or dried substances standing by the river and then releasing their fruit and the leaves for those who are coming by? None of that is releasing something that the nations can partake and be healed from. What we need to be understanding and is God is equipping us to stand next to the river of life, to stand next to that river and be releasing life because he's giving us a word of life, and that word of life is something we continue to stand in and see it released. As we see it released, we see then people are going to be receiving of the fruit. This is an opportunity where people will be coming back to the Lord. But the church has to begin to look like the church. And he said to me, prophesy, verse 9, prophesy, son of man, say to the breath, thus says the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may come to life. And I prophesied, and he commanded, and the breath came into them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceeding great army. And he said, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. And they say, our bones are dried up. When they're dried up, that means they're ashamed, they're confused, they're disappointed, they're withered. What's our promise? What's our promise? See, he's talking about the church, folks. He's talking about the church as it existed. He's not talking about you because you have a promise that your leaf will not wither. Your leaf will not wither. Your leaf is not going to go dry. Your essence, the essence of who you are, does not become dry, ashamed, confused. But it's going to come and flourish with life for others to partake. It flourishes with life for somebody to partake of. But we can't lose sight of what the Lord said. We can't lose sight of where he's taking us. We can't lose sight that just because in the moment I have a disappointment, just in the moment something didn't quite line up, just in the moment I didn't quite get to where I was supposed to go. We can't lose sight because the Lord has said we're going to release life. And when we release life, we stand in that knowing that he's already equipped you for it. It's not a matter, you know, when if you're not feeling that the Lord's presence right there, it's not because the Lord left. It's simply because you didn't position your heart in front of him. He's not moved by the circumstance. We don't have to be either. We don't have to be either. So he's talking about them. He says, prophesy, say to them, thus the Lord, behold, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, my people, and I will bring you to the land of Israel. The reason this is important is because this is where hope comes from, and where hope comes from, that's where faith is found. When faith is released, then there's an operation of change that can happen. There's an operation that that God can be involved with. Many years ago, I went to a conference, and as I was at the conference, I sat down. That first day of the conference, there was a gentleman there who turned out to be from Detroit, and the Lord said, "I want you to read his mail." And I positioned my heart and said, "Lord, yes, I'll do it." And then there was nothing else. Normally when I position my heart and say, yes, I'll do it, then the words flows. The word just happens. So then I'm carrying this around for the whole conference. Like every time I walk by him, right? Every time I bump into him at breakfast, I bump into him at lunch, I sit across from him at the thing, and it's like, there was no words. And I'm like, Lord, I'm willing. What do you want me to do? Then the last night of the conference, the Lord said, now. I didn't even have the word then. I just started approaching him, and as I started approaching him, Ezekiel 37 just became alive in me. And I just began to speak to him. I began to speak to him about his congregation, the people that he was dealing with. He said, you feel that they're the valley of dry bones. You feel that this is where they're at. But God has put in you the hope that will restore them. God has put in you right now. And as I began to lay hands on him, he began to spring up and begin. That which was withered began to rise up within him. And I could see that it changed him. In that moment, he became a man of determination again, a man who was ready. And it turns out he was the pastor of the people in that little place in Detroit. And it was interesting because the Lord has said, when he said, now, I was getting up to go to the bathroom, and I thought, well, I'll just go to the bathroom first. No, and he said, now again. So I stepped over. And when he says now again, I just said, oops, don't do that. And I stepped over and I began to release the word into his heart. And as I began to release the word into his heart, I could see him beginning to come alive. When his face become alive again, I could see the electricity begin to happen in his spirit. And there was an impartation of life that happened in that moment that shifted his whole atmosphere. And I noticed as I was leaving out of the bathroom, there was a window where you could actually see outside. I watched him get in his truck, which had his Detroit or his Michigan license plate, and get in his truck and leave right then. See, that was the thing that he knew that he needed. That was the whole reason he was there at the conference. But the reason that the Lord wasn't giving it to me until the end, he wanted him to absorb as much as he possibly could and then be released to go out. See, we have to respond to what the Lord has given you and hold to it. It's like when I kept holding to the Lord, I know you have something, but I'm not going to step out in my own. I'm going to step out with you. And when I stepped out with him, life's changed. But not just his, the lives that he was going to affect. So ever since then, this passage has been near and dear to me. Before that, it was just another story. But then it became alive because I see how it can touch and how God is looking for his church to be his church and to touch people and cause them to be alive. The same thing happened. See, every situation in the years of the bubonic plague in the 1800s, 1880s, there was a man called John Alexander Dowie. And he watched, he was a pastor, and he watched as members of his congregation were dying one by one by one by one. And he just laid his head on his Bible one night, and he said, Lord, are they all going to die? Or there's supposed to be an answer. And his heart rose up within him. And the Lord highlighted to him Acts 10:38. If you'll go with me there. You know Jesus of Nazareth. How God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. And how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. And he knew when he read that, all of a sudden, see, the teaching that they had was very, very different. But all of a sudden it rose up within him that this bubonic plague, this thing that is happening, is not of God. It's not God doing it. It's not him causing it. Matter of fact, it comes from the enemy. And for the first time he could see that this thing was not an operation of God, but it was an operation of the enemy. And as such, then a holy indignation and a holy anger began to rise up in his heart. And out of that, he began to pray and he began to believe God. And then he went and as all this revelation was hitting him, he went to this another, they came and called him and said, there's a lady, a young girl who needs you we need to pray for her because she's fixing to go to heaven. And see, they were all believing that it was the will. And he basically tossed them out of the room because they were, he's like, don't you understand? It's not God's will. That's the devil. And I know it now. And I won't tolerate it anymore. And he began to hold this girl and just pray for her. He didn't even know what to say. He didn't know what the words were. He just began to hold her and pray for her until she went to sleep. And then they thought, well, she's died. And he said, no, she's not dead. And in a few moments, she woke up and began to say, I just feel so good. And then he went into the next room and prayed for that child, in the next room and prayed for that child until all were living. And he never had another death in the whole congregation. That was the foundation of the faith healing movement. He left out of there. All that was happening in Australia. He left out there and he went to the Chicago area and began to found what was later called Zion. It was going to be an ideal society That idea was a little bit not quite on target, but he founded the faith movement. Do you know that what's remembered of Dowie is that he became one who made a difference? Because of him, John G. Lake got the message and understood it's the enemy who does sickness, disease. It's the enemy who's behind poverty. He began to understand these things and he began to stand up and he made a difference and formed thousands, well, I think it was 5,000 churches in Africa. He began to make a difference. But see, Dwight Moody came out of Zion, Illinois. B.B. and F.F. Bosworth came out of Zion, Illinois. The word of healing was now upon the land. The word of healing was now alive, and the actions that follow it were now alive. Why? Because one man saw this verse and began to realize it's the devil who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It's the devil who comes and causes sickness and disease. It's the devil who is doing those things. And my God is mightier than that. And there will be nothing of him in me. I encourage you this morning to know the coronavirus is not your story. Our story is what we do about it. Our story is how do we let the river of life and the tree of life be seen in us and released through us? How do we make a difference around us and through us? That's our story. And soon, and very soon, we'll be gathered here together and seeing the results and seeing and receiving increase from these things. Because we chose to be the church. Because we chose to recognize we don't have to bow our knee to anything that the enemy has put in front of us. We get to rise up, be who God called us to be. Hallelujah. Is there something you wanted to add real quick? No? Yeah? We got about 3-4 minutes.
Yeah, let's go to Revelations 2. I was up the other night. I've been praying, Lord, use me in this season. Use me to be the light. We're called to be a city on a hill. Lord, I just ask that you would just bring up and shake and awaken the old friends that I used to hang out with that know me for who I am today to come and to call me when they're in a place of fear and torment. And I've been having phone calls in the last 2 nights. I've been up to midnight sharing and encouraging and share not just my belief, but able to walk with them through the Word of God and actually show them what's actually going on. And when we hung up, they were smiling and praising God. Verse 21, it says, "But hold fast what you have till I come, and he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and they shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I also have received from my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Amen. Like Pastor Kim was saying this morning, this is not a time to be distracted. If you have time off of work, if you've got laid off, if they said just take a few weeks off, if you're a teacher, if you're at home because of this, use this time to press in. Use this time. Don't turn aside. Don't allow busyness to rise up. But begin, because he says in John 16, around 14 or so, that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, has come to declare these things to us. Like Pastor Chuck was talking about, the tree of life, that life substance, that hope, that grace, the place of rest, the lily's grace. He has come to disclose those things to you so that you can receive him, because the Father says in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven." So as you go into your prayer, prayer closet and you begin to rest with the Father, acknowledge that the Holy Spirit receives from the Father through the Lord Jesus, and he declares all these things that you can see for the power for the nations, to begin to release that. And know when you get out of the prayer closet, whenever you come to the point to where you are fixing to leave, recognize that your feet is upon this ground, and begin to ask the Holy Spirit to transfer that life, to transfer that grace, to transfer that joy, to transfer that rest that you receive from the Father himself unto this body, and create an atmosphere. You have to transfer it. And as you begin to transfer it into an atmosphere, now you're carrying it, and now you're like Peter, and now you're like Jesus. Now you're carrying it, and the people are actually seeing that light upon you. It's increasing and multiplying in the name of Jesus. Amen. Are we going to do communion today? You want to do that? That's all I wanted to share.
Yeah, good job. Hallelujah. Because, see, you got something in you. See, I have something in me. The tree of life is in me. And I shall share and become the fruit for food and the leaves for the healing of the nations. Amen. And what we want to do also, we have a communion here. So if you want to partake of communion right now, we'll do it corporately. Says we can do it corporately. And so that way we can just do that. So if you'll give us just a moment, we'll be right back live stream. We'll be right back as we gather the elements real quick. And those who want to partake later can partake later for second service. That's fine. But we'll do it if you want to do it right now.